This radio is powered by Streamlion, the superior internet radio hosting service that provides our SOCAN license coverage. Visit streamlion.com.
Welcome to Story to Screen here on KPEO World Community Radio, where we're rocking the film world each week on Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can go online, download the app, and listen in weekly with new guests and music, or catch the replay on wearestarfish.org. This is Story to Screen, and I'm your host, Eric Krefeld. Let's dive in.
Hey everybody, it's Eric. I'm here with Jimmy Beeson. We're here on Story to Screen. It's another new Tuesday, and we got a great show for you. Jimmy, we've got him here solo today because he actually takes care of both sides of things. He can do the music and he can do the film. So, you know, part of the show is a lot of times we like to collaborate with bringing music and filmmakers together. In this case, we have them together in the same person. So, Jimmy, why don't you tell our audience just a little bit about you and a little of your background and that kind of stuff?
Grew up in the Southern California rock scene. I was a rock singer in a few bands in the Hollywood scene in the 90s, late 80s and 90s. After that, I went to film school for film editing. Got into recording my own music and stuff like that. And then I got into, now I'm a screenwriter as well and a filmmaker. So I just recently put out a teaser trailer for a script I wrote, and I'm trying to get funding.
Always the fun part of filmmaking.
No, buddy.
It's the part that no one really enjoys, I know.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your music a little first, because we've got a few songs that we're going to let the listeners hear, and then they'll be playing up on KPEO radio. So the one that really caught me was the Streets.
Streets of Gold?
Streets of Gold, yes. Tell me a little bit about that song. Where does it come from? You know, what's behind it?
Basically, it's just a total submission to God. It's just a total... You know, you are my love, you are my life, the savior of my soul. I mean, just, you know, just total submission, total surrender to God. And, you know, that's funny because that song just came about. I was late we were going to some event or something like that. And I wrote it like in 5 minutes.
Wow.
And it's like one of the best things I've ever written. It just is incredible. And that's how the great ones usually start like that, you know.
Definitely, man. Like, sometimes we work so hard just to get something down, and then all of a sudden there's one, just boop, there it is.
You pull your hair off for like 4 years for one song, and the next song just like 3 minutes, and it's like it's done.
Right on.
Those are like lay downs. I love that kind of lay down perfection, man. It's great.
So you play guitar, correct?
Play guitar. Sing, play bass, some keys. I've got a great drum program that is awesome. It simulates the drum sound perfectly, you know, so I got the whole situation going on.
Nice. Do you still play out at all and do performances, or are you mostly in the studios now?
I was with a band for a while that disbanded right after COVID. So I decided to push most of my attention to screenwriting right now, but I want to try to get my songs into my movies if possible. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Well, and I was going to ask that next is, so for your own film, assuming that you raise the funds you need for it and are able to bring it to fruition, are you looking to put your music in it, or are you looking to add music with other people as well, or?
Well, you know, there would be like a sound, there'd be like a score, like the beginning would be the intro and all that stuff. Like you'd hear like John Williams type thing. But I've got some really atmospheric music. So I've got rock music. I've got like progressive. I've got like atmospheric kind of movie sound music type thing. Love song. I mean, just everything you can possibly think of. Blues. I mean, you can funk, folk. You know, whatever.
And yeah, so, you definitely have a wide variety of, yeah. of what you're working from.
Exactly.
Most people that I meet, you know, in this show are either musicians that have dipped their toe into the filmmaking world or filmmakers who have learned how to do some music because they've needed to.
Right.
Which one do you consider your strength?
Man, I can't choose.
Okay.
Because I'm absolutely passionate about filmmaking. My screenwriting is incredibly important to me, and so is music. Right. You know, I want to tell you, I don't know if you want to talk about this now, but I actually turned my script into a graphic novel on Kindle.
Yeah.
So there's another aspect to the whole thing, you know what I'm saying?
No, brilliant. That's something that, you know, a lot of the filmmakers really need to start thinking about as well. And just, you know, it's just another avenue to get that story out, another avenue to get eyeballs on your project and help move it forward. So,
you know, I'm going to tell you, I had never written a screenplay before this one I sent you, right?
Okay.
And I was just like, I'm just going to write it all down. I got this idea. Let's go. Boom. It took about 2 weeks. Usually people take years, you know, but it took about 2 weeks, right?
Right.
Enough, I showed this screenplay to a director, one of the guys off of the original X-Men series.
Wow.
And he was like, this is $100 million tentpole franchise. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you're kidding me. Like, nice. No. Then I took a screenwriting class and the guy gave me an A. I didn't even try.
Wow. Well, I was going to ask if you have like a full on like pitch deck and all that stuff for it.
I need a pitch deck. I just can't afford it. Right. You know, I'm going through some hard times, so I need a pitch deck. I need a storyboard.
Right.
And $100.
Sure. Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, we all need that. So.
Right. Yeah. So
the trailer, super interesting, you know, and the people that, you know, listen to it on the radio with the KPEO and all that kind of stuff. I encourage you guys, if you're listening to it on the radio, go to wearestarfish.org, go to the Story to Screen tab and watch the video, because what you're going to hear on the radio, you know, it's going to be live. It's going to be awesome. It's going to have a lot of Jimmy's music, you know, playing through it along with our discussion. But you will miss, you know, some really cool things that you know, Jimmy's able to give us to let you see. So, you know, you're going to be able to see that trailer. In fact, right now, that's probably a great spot for us to pause, and we'll do a little station identification, and we'll play that trailer, and we'll let everybody get a little look about what you've got in store, and then we can come back and chat about it a little.
Excellent.
All right, catch you on the flip side.
Brilliant scientist and his daring band of cybernauts must race against time to save a member of their team trapped 2,000 miles beneath the Earth's surface before his signal degrades and he is lost forever.
We have no idea what we'll find down there, so be on your guard.
Copy that, Commander.
This is Ether One. We're starting our perimeter sweep. Ether Actual, this is Ether One. You're not gonna believe this, but it looks like an entire civilization lived down here. General, we've discovered something.
What do you see, Commander?
Can't be sure, but it looks like huge sealed chambers. Vaults of some sort. They go on for hundreds of miles. We're going to investigate. Over.
Be careful, Craig. We have no idea what could be in there. Over.
Commander,
Oh my God.
Hey guys, we're back from break and we got Jimmy here. We just took a look at that awesome trailer. Jimmy, tell us a little bit about that project.
Okay, so this movie is about, the story is about, you know, I don't know if you remember that a while back, the CIA was experimenting with what's called remote viewing. You ever hear about that?
Yeah.
Where they actually use so-called psychics or whatever you want to call them, sensitives or whatever you call them, to go and see and find things or whatever with their mind. In this film, one of those scientists actually goes on, and what he does is he takes these people who are sensitive or whatever you want to call them, psychics or whatever. I don't believe in psychics, but you know. And he uses
sensory people.
Yeah. And he uses their mind. What he does is he creates an apparatus to not only be able to, for them to see something in a distance, but actually travel through the quantum realm based on the exploitation of their mind with this apparatus. It's called an ether suit, right? So they're actually able to teleport wherever they can see.
Right.
But what happens is a deep drilling outfit in Ireland finds an anomaly 2,000 feet, or 2,000 miles, excuse me, below the Earth's surface. It's got these heat blooms and all these fault lines are gathered together in one place. And this guy's like, oh my God, if someone was to put a nuclear bomb there, they could destroy all of Europe in one shot. So they go to the Pentagon and they say, listen, we need to find out some way to get down there because we need to find out what's these heat blooms and da-da-da-da. They send the ether team down there, and what they find is the land of the dead. In the Bible, Abraham's bosom, one mm-hmm. side, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hades, the other side. They find this place, but it's empty. And they're like, what is this? It's a complete crystalline city. It's beautiful. It goes on for hundreds of miles, right? But in the Bible also, it talks about Tartarus is actually underneath, and Tartarus is where fallen angels are imprisoned because they're just too powerful. Well, they don't know this. They don't know what's going on. They go down there and they actually find these prisons. Of course, one guy is stupid enough to try to go inside. They have to go inside and get him. And as they bring him out, they bring out a demonic spirit with them. So now they're like running for their lives. And oh my God, and they've got to get out of this place and get out and get back to the surface within 4 hours or they're stuck there forever.
Wow.
So this is our premise.
Nice. I hope you find a way to fund it and get it out there because I think it's an amazing story. You had two characters that you already have like someone kind of picked for, as it comes about. You've got a couple characters that you show and say like this person would be the lead male, this would be the lead female.
Right. So trip out on this, okay? So I went through Facebook and I actually found like 4 or 5 people that went, I mean, literally walked off the page.
Wow.
But I actually went to a film festival where I was nominated for an award for the screenplay, right? Mm-hmm. And I was just talking and all of a sudden this woman walks up and she literally is the woman I would have chosen for the female lead. And she just walks right up to me. Beautiful, perfect, right? Sweetest punch. I mean, the most amazing Christian woman you've ever met.
Wow.
And she just starts talking to me and like, hey, how's it going? And I'm like, oh my God, you are exactly who I would choose for my female lead. She goes, oh my God, I love sci-fi.
That's cool.
This woman is naturally talented like crazy. So I literally see the script and she's like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And so I've been trying to get this thing going. Because I've found these, especially even the male lead too. He is this guy,
right?
You know, he's General Hospital, and he's done Lifetime and all this other stuff. And sweet guy, real nice guy, but he really is this super, what do you call him? Action hero in real life. I mean, the guy, he can. He's like a captain of a ship. He works out, buff, and da da da. But a super cool
guy. He looks very impressive, I'm not going to lie. Yep. When I saw him, I was just like, wow, okay. Like,
yeah. I talked to him on the phone. He's like, I want to do this. I want to do this. We have to, you know, just keep me informed. And she was like, keep me informed. And I talked to a few of the other leads, or I'm sorry, the background people. And they're like, yeah, man, this is cool. Let's go. So now I'm just waiting.
Right. Well, and, so, you know, I mean, I think it is, I love the fact that, you know, you've got all of this Christian element to you and your music, and there's a lot of Christian elements to it. And to find Christian elements in sci-fi is very interesting. And I mean, I loved it. When I saw it, I was just like, wow, okay, this is cool. Like somebody who's like Christian, but still has that, like that fun sci-fi element to it. I was like that. It did. It got me a little excited. I'm like, this is going to be good.
You know, and I mean, can you imagine the implications of what would happen if this movie could go? I mean, where it could go. And because the people, like I said, I've talked to, they're like, this has all the elements of $100 million blockbuster, man, a franchise. This could go on forever. Right. And I'm like, yeah, man, we have to just find somebody who's brave enough to fork out, you know, $100 million or something, you know, sure. $50 million or something, you know.
Now, do you see it, you know, because you do, like you said, you do have actual physical people that you've already envisioned for this. The trailer looks very AI. It looks very
Well, that's
so
the thing.
Do you see this as a culmination of AI and real actual filmmaking put together, or how do you see that coming together?
Well, AI is a really brilliant thing because it'll allow you to do things like I did for nothing. I spent $20 on that trailer.
Right.
So I was able to do that, and it cost, like I said, $20. It was nothing. The voices, everything, right? But what AI can do for you is it can actually give you ideas on how to do things or where to go with things that you wouldn't have thought of. A lot of the stuff in the comic book, I was like, oh my God, the AI is giving me things I would have never thought about. And brilliant, brilliant, beautiful pictures. But you can actually use AI for backgrounds, for things like that, for stills. They call them plates, you know, where you put people against them. But yeah, it will be a perfect marriage between the two. And also, let me tell you, technology is at a place now. If you've watched The Mandalorian, and I'm sure you know this, but you've heard of Unreal Engine.
Yes.
Okay.
I've used it for a couple of things. Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah, you can make something that's unbelievable. I've got a buddy of mine who's on Facebook. This guy does the most incredible things with his computer rig that you would never know it wasn't real. I mean, you would never know.
Sure.
Of course, he linked up four different computers with, you know, 4090s, and they go, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah. It's
yeah, I've got a couple friends with just laptops and Unreal Engine, and, you know, they've done some stuff that I was like, dude, I feel like you went to Mars with a 4K camera and brought back some footage from it, because I don't know what I'm looking at, but it looks legit. Like if you told me you built like an entire model, world to walk around in, I would believe you right now. Like
totally. Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable. Yeah. You know, even just a green screen. Now, the funny thing is also that if we were ever to get funding, it turns out that Georgia gives you incentives to film there, right?
Yep.
It also turns out that Georgia's got a bunch of green screen facilities, but it also turns out that they've got 500 caves. So if we ever wanted to go there, get the incentives, and do the green screen, we could actually shoot on location as well.
In some caves, in a real...
Yeah. Also,
I spend a lot of time in Georgia, and there's a gem studio right around the corner from where I'm at regularly in Georgia. Awesome. And I went there and I viewed some of the space there. They have a sister over in North Carolina too that has the same setup. but yeah, absolutely, you're right. I mean, you know, Atlanta's a huge hub for filmmaking. And yeah, it pretty much has everything you need right there. So
yeah, and these days you can actually go scan the cave and drop it into your Unreal Engine background, and you don't even have to. You know, it's crazy.
I know.
It's such an amazing time for filmmakers, man.
Well, and I went to Disney this summer, and I saw what they did with Star Wars and the Star Wars landscape there in Disney. And and I just kept thinking to myself, I was like, man, I mean, like, this is really cool. They did everything. I mean, every nuance, every little piece of it is there. And then I just thought, and I'm like, yeah, they did it all, which is cool. Like, so that we can walk around and look at this stuff. But we all aren't know now that we're at the spot that they don't have to, like, they can digitally recreate everything faster, quicker, stronger, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's like, man, we're at the precipice of this amazing revolution, man.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people that are afraid of it because they feel like it's gonna, you know, push people out of jobs and that kind of stuff. Yeah. And you know, I think it's, you know, we're at that same spot, you know, like from the, you know, industrial to the information age, or from the, you know, we're just at that spot where I don't know that it's gonna push you out of a job as much as it's gonna push you to pivot.
Right.
You're gonna have to, like, you will get left behind if you don't choose to pivot. But if you choose to pivot, I think most people will be able to grab on and find something really interesting that they can fall into.
Right. Well, I went to school for film editing, right, over here in Burbank. And that was what happened, was when the film industry decided to go digital with their editing situations, these guys were like, oh my God, you know, we're going to lose all our jobs, da 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 da. But it turns out that they were able to retrain for themselves, and now it's even better.
Absolutely, know? Man!
Incredible, yeah, amazing.
I want to switch gears real quick because I want to make sure we get another song in. I want to get Unbroken in. I think that Unbroken, is that right?
Okay. Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that song. That one was really interesting to me. So tell me, you know, where does that one come from?
That is the day of Christ's crucifixion. And it's actually literally taking the moment that it starts all the way through to the end.
Wow.
And, you know, so I came from like a Led Zeppelin background. I love Led Zeppelin, like crazy, sure. Right? All that classic rock. I just don't hear that kind of thing in Christian music. And I have to make it. And so it just started off real simple. And I was like, and actually, I was telling God to go. I was telling him, I go, I really want to make a song that's very atmospheric, because, like the Beatles, Zeppelin, they really had lyrics that really put you in that place. So yeah. I was really praying, God, you know, I really need to understand how to do this. And you do it with language, obviously, descriptive language. And so I was able to create that song and then use that descriptive language to put the listener in that place on that day. And, all glory to him, because, you know, it turned out really well. I was really excited.
Yeah, very well.
We used to babysit a little girl, and that was her favorite song. Every time we got in the car, like, can you play Unbroken? I'm like, sure. Sure.
That's awesome. I could play it over and over if you want. That's awesome. I love it.
Going, baby.
Yeah, and kids are so cool, because kids, you know, when they want something, they can, man. They can just listen to it over and over and over. They just can't get enough of it. I love that about kids.
Cool. Totally cool.
Right, right.
I play some of my other music. She's like, no.
Go back to Unbroken.
Unbroken. All right, cool.
That's funny. All right, well, we're going to listen to that song, and then we're going to come back and talk a little more. And so we'll catch you back in just a minute.
The sky above began to darken. Soldiers led him to the hill. The sound of mourning in the distance. Rain like blood began to spill. Separated from his father, his body lifted to the sky. And though his will remained unbroken, Son of God has come to die.
Hey there, changemakers. Imagine a world where every small act creates a ripple of impact. At WeAreStarfish.org, we're turning dreams of a better tomorrow into reality. Join our global community of starfish where every person like you is a catalyst for positive change. Whether it's empowering education, environmental stewardship, or supporting local communities, we believe in the power of every individual to make a difference. Visit WeAreStarfish.org today and discover how you can be a part of the wave of change. WeAreStarfish.org, because each one matters.
This radio is powered by Streamlion, the superior internet radio hosting service that provides our SOCAN license coverage. Visit streamlion.com for more.
Hey guys, we're right back again with Jimmy. We're having some awesome conversation. So one of the things we were talking about was Jimmy's got another song that, you know, we're gonna pop on a music video in a little bit. Dead Man Walking, like you actually created an AI band for this music video, correct?
Right. Yeah.
Like, walk us through that song a little bit in the video and what you did.
Well, the song is about John the Beloved when he's on Patmos and he's watching, it's the revelation basically, and he's watching heaven come down to earth. And he's describing this unbelievable event, you know, and he's like, the New Jerusalem basically coming down to earth. And obviously the idea of Dead Man Walking is Jesus crucified and then couldn't keep a good man down 3 days later and boom, I'm back.
Right.
You know, and so Dead Man Walking. So John is watching this all happen from Patmos, actually from a high mountain in Patmos. And he's watching heaven come down, the New Jerusalem, and he's just describing this incredible event. And that's what that... But now, the reason I created the AI, though, is because I didn't have a band.
Right.
And so I needed something to put out with the song. Now, trip out on this, man. I didn't think anything of it. I put it on. Okay, I've got a few other songs. I've got a bunch of other music videos online, whatever. This song, to date, 2 months ago, I put it on. It has 27,000 hits, man.
Nice.
Me and my mom are like, whoa. How did that happen?
Like, do I know 27,000?
Yeah, exactly. I didn't try to promote this song at all. I didn't do anything.
Wow.
And my mom, like, I told her, go, man, I got 27,000 hits so far. She's like, every day now, she's writing down the numbers. Okay, give me the numbers today. How about today? What's going on today?
I love your mom already.
Yeah. I'm like, awesome. I didn't do a thing to try to promote the song at all. Didn't, you know. Amazing.
Oh, really. It's an amazing song, and the video is super cool. So I'm excited to share it with everybody.
Want the thief fast door.
So team-wise, you know, are you literally just a solo out there, like able to do everything all on your own? Are you literally sitting down going, all right, I'm going to write this song and then I'm going to produce this song and then I'm going to film this and then I'm going to, you know, are you doing it all yourself or do you have, you know, sometimes different team members that you bring in to help you pieces?
No, it's all me.
Okay.
And I mean, obviously today, these days, like I said, you can do everything by yourself. So
sure.
I was able to actually train with the guy, the producer who produces Blondie, and ZZ Top. He had actually fallen on hard times, so I was actually in a studio. He was giving a class, and I was actually able to take the class because I knew the studio owner. So I got great training for almost nothing.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what drives you? Like you're obviously an artist. I mean, in every sense of the word, you know, whether it's filmmaking, screenwriting, music, what drives the artistry in you? Where does that artistry come from?
Two things, okay? Jesus, that's one. And Hardcore Neurosis, that's two.
Okay.
It's a natural thing, man. I stop creating, you know, and I'm always driving people crazy with, hey, what if we did this? Or how about if we did this over here and boom, boom, boom. And what if about this kind of a movie and this kind of idea? Or what if we did this with this song? Boom, 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 boom. And people are just like, would you shut up?
Well, and you know, it's one of the, again, back to kids, man. It's one of the things that I love about kids. They have such an open, fresh look at everything. There's so many people that I think like after, you know, after 25, even into 30, like once they hit that spot, they kind of settle in and then they stop being open to a lot of new ideas and they're like, no, why try it that way? We've already done it this way and it works. So let's just stick with what works. But then you get these kids that, you know, they'll come along and they'll go, let's do this. And somebody will go like, I'll never forget, like me personally, like, I hate the head and shoulder shot, the traditional interview head and shoulder shot. To me, it's just an absolutely terrible shot. I don't know why people do it. I can't stand it. And so, the first time I did an interview, I didn't do the head and shoulder shot. And they were like, oh no, Eric, here, you need to reframe this. And I'm like, but I don't like the way that looks. And they're just like, that's what we do. And I'm like, well, you're doing it wrong. And they're like, no, this is the way it's done. And I'm just like, well, then it's done wrong. And, and so like, you know, I love that about young people, especially. And you obviously have a very young soul that you're just very open to what could be, what might be, why not, you know?
Yeah. Why not? You know, throw the kitchen sink in there, you know, let's throw the kitchen sink in and see what happens.
Right. And I mean, that's it's an interesting way to approach things. One of the things that we do on this show is the purpose in what we do is the idea of storytelling as basically a healing process. So many of the kids that we work with We Are Starfish and the families that we work with and the families we deal with, are working through really tough stuff. Sometimes it's broken families for different reasons. Sometimes it's kids that you know, really never had a family. Sometimes it's kids aging out of a foster care system that, you know, to be honest, when you age out of foster care, you basically walk into life knowing that nobody cared enough to bring you into their family. So, these kids are working with deep, deep stuff. And so, part of what we're doing is we like to introduce them to these storytelling concepts where, you know, whether it's graphic or whether it's actually writing poetry, script writing, screenwriting, songwriting, or actually picking up an instrument and you know, trying their hand at just making some noise. and just working through the stuff that they're working through the creative arts. Do you see how that, you know, can really like help to touch young people and hopefully do something positive to help change their world?
Oh, and incredible. I mean, it's very cathartic. I had a friend of mine who passed away, and it killed me. I mean, but I was able to kind of get past it by writing about it. Because if you keep it in, it's just going to fester and fester and just drive you crazy.
Right.
And you got to get it out, especially if you're creative. You really have to get it out, man, because it'll just drive you nuts. It is one of the most amazingly therapeutic things you could actually do, you know?
Yeah. No, I like to write poetry, and my wife, you know, it was funny because I never really wrote her anything nice. But she's an amazing woman, and I feel all these wonderful things about her, but I never wrote her anything nice. And yes, people have asked me over the years, they're like, well, how come you don't have a poem about your wife? And I'm like, cause I like her. I love her. I mean, like she's, yeah. You know, she's awesome. Like my poetry is a way for me to work through things that I'm working through. Yeah. And I, you know, I'm just like, man, the day I write something about my wife, you know, everybody should kind of look out, because I mean, yeah. something probably bad is going to happen next. Because
right,
if I'm writing about it, it usually isn't a happy thought. So
right, exactly. Yeah, when things go haywire, then okay, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. Give me. There was another song. Let me look here really quick. Actually, you know what? This is another one more spot. We'll take a really quick break. We'll listen to another song, probably like If You'd Only. We'll take a listen to that, and then we'll pop back in and talk for a few more minutes about that song and just how people can find you and all that good stuff. So we will be back shortly.
Excellent.
World, it falls to pieces.
All right, guys. So once again, we're back here with Jimmy. We've been having some great conversation. The show's been going really well. We've been showing you some really neat things that Jimmy's been able to do. That last song that we were just listening to, tell me a little bit about that one, because that one is also just, again, you know, a very, very interesting song.
If you'd only.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, basically, it's God talking to his creation. And he's like, if you would only just let me save you, if you'd only let me comfort you, if you'd only let me heal you, right, you know, if you'd only let me lead you, you'd be a lot better off. I mean, there would be no problems. But human beings are like, forget it.
Yeah, I gotta do it our way first.
Right. You know, and the lyrics are, you do as you please and your world, it falls to pieces. You know, I mean, isn't it crazy? You think about it. We've got God, Almighty God. He's like, I'm here. Just ask me, what do you need? What do you need right now? Boom. Come on, I'm your dad. Boom. Come on.
Yeah.
And we're like, no thanks. I know you're brilliant.
Not this.
But just whatever. Right. You know, I mean, if I was on the stock market and some guy who was an absolute genius came along and said, I could make you hundreds of billions of dollars, I'd probably say, yeah.
Yeah.
But when it comes to God, who knows everything, nah, right, thanks. I'm cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me try it my way first, and
I'll see you later.
Trees. I don't know what it is about trees, but trees just speak to me. Like, when I see trees, I can't help but just I look at them and I just go like, man, you know, there's like five trees out my window right now that I'm looking at, and all five of them are different kinds of trees. They all have different leaves. They're probably all hanging out there talking to each other. I don't know. But like, I think about that, and I think about us, and I just go like, you know, that tree's not hanging out there going, I wonder if I should try to get water from that pond over there. Or maybe I should try to steal that guy's water, because like his water looks better than my water. And you know, so I look at them and I just like, man, like, and we're supposed to be the intelligent beings, and yet, you know, they know how to just let him do what he does so that they can thrive.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. Like the birds, they don't sit there and go, well, I gotta go get a job, man. God's like, no, here you go. Boom.
Here's your job.
Know, in the Garden of Eden, God was like, all you gotta do is cut the grass. Everything's beautiful.
Right.
No, God, it's not good enough.
Right. Right. Yeah. we're a crazy sort. So, yeah. Jimmy, you know, whether it's to talk to you more about the film that you're working on, or your music, or any of the other really cool things that you have going on, how do people get in touch with you? How do they find you? Where do they go to get more Jimmy?
I've got a website that has all my music. It has links to a lot of my videos. And I've got like 22 albums of music online. It's www.jimmybeeson.com. Of course, you've got my email address, if you can just flash that. And I'm on Facebook. Just look for Jimmy Beeson. Just look for a guy with a lot of hair playing guitar. That's probably me.
There's a few of you out there.
Yeah. So those three ways, yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, you know, we're going to close out the show with that last song, We May Never. So can you give us a little insight on that song before we take off and get to listen to that song?
Well, the song is kind of like two parts. The first part talks about, it's in the South in like the 1930s or 40s, and they're having a revival, and this kid goes down and he says, well, you know, I want to be saved. And he comes down, and I guess they're at the water, they're gonna have to do baptisms and stuff, and the preacher who's down there goes, oh my God, you've got this anointing like I have never felt in my entire life. And so the kid gets baptized and goes on to be a great preacher, right? And, you know, change society. And then, but the chorus is, we may never walk on water, or never turn that water to wine, but we will fight for your sons and daughters and all the world has left behind. So now it kind of pops into the foreground now where we're at, and we're saying there's a whole situation where the world is desperately trying to destroy people of faith and destroy everybody, you know.
Sure.
But the Christian needs to sit there and go, no, we may never walk on water, we may never do miracles, but we're going to be there for you. And God's going to be there for you, and we're not going to go down with a fight.
Amen. That's what,
yeah.
Love it. Well, yeah. And, you know, at Starfish, one of the things that we're pushing forward with is purchasing land. We're a 501c3, so we're looking to purchase land, and we're looking to build a community that we can start to, you know, bring out some of those kids that need the help that they need.
Right.
When we get to that spot, you know, we're definitely going to be giving you a call and seeing if you want to come out and play some guitar, do some screenwriting, just help fill these kids with some of that good stuff that you've got. So
I tell you what, when God opens the door and I make $100 billion, I'm going to come down there and start building some houses with you, man.
Now we are talking, brother.
Yeah. Out of high school, I was a laborer in a construction firm.
Wow.
And we used to do all kinds of that stuff. And I got all kinds of ideas for you.
Yeah, God, you know, he's got such a funny sense of humor. I ended up working with a construction company for a long time. And I am the least knowledgeable person on the planet, I think, when it comes to, I still to this day am pretty sure I know nothing about construction, even though I worked with them for a couple of years. And
yeah,
I'm not very good with that stuff. God's put me in some weird places that I drove a dump trailer for a little bit, and I'm not sure how. I'll be honest, he drove it. I just sat in the seat because there were days that I was just like, please God, please God, please God, please God, just let it, just please God, please God.
You're like, take the wheel, Jesus.
Exactly. All the time.
When it comes to construction, I know how to smash my hand with a hammer. That's about all I know how to do.
Well, you know, I don't know that I ever actually got to the point of holding a hammer. Nope. I worked with them for years, but I never actually did anything physical. It was probably better that way.
Yeah, it wasn't fun. Let me tell you, it was not fun.
All right, Jimmy, it has been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Don't forget, guys, look him up. Check out his songs, check out his material, check out, you know, just spread the word, man. If you don't have $100 million to help him get this funded, then, you know, just keep passing the word, because somewhere out there, there's that person or that group. And the more of us that just keep pushing this information forward, the better the likelihood that that's going to get found. And, you know, what he's working on is going to come to light, because it's a great story. So I'm excited to see it.
Yeah. And check out Project Ether on Kindle.
Yeah,
24 chapters of that are on there.
Awesome. Good deal, man. Yeah. All right. Well, and that's it for this week. So we will see you guys next week. Remember, we're every Tuesday here at Story to Screen. Thanks again, Jimmy. And good luck to you, my brother.
Thank you so much, man.
All right, man. Take care.
Thanks for spending some time here at Story to Screen on KPEO World Community Radio. I'm your host, Eric Krefeld, and we're rocking the film world every Tuesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can download the app or listen live, or catch the replay at wearestarfish.org, because each one matters. Catch you next week on Story to Screen. Keep supporting film and music. It's the story we tell that matters.
Radio is powered by Streamlion, the superior internet radio hosting service that provides our SOCAN license coverage. Visit streamlion.com for more.